Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Alrighty, third hour. What's happening? Back into it here. Tiki and Tierney. It's the Tiki and Tierney Show, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Network, coming from our Rocket Mortgage studio. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket Ken, what's happening? Man, it's been a good week of sports here. The Aaron Rodgers stuff, camps obviously starting to pop around the NFL. I think I read, what was the number? At least the estimate now, about 80, I think it was 89.7% of the NFL has had at least one vaccination shot. That's obviously a story we followed. Ron Rivera, who spoke up quite aggressively and rightfully based on his history and his battle with cancer and his immune deficiency. Tegan and I had that yesterday. We talked about that. We played the sound from Coach, who we love. We've had Ron on the show. It's obviously, it's a big topic. And Cole Beasley, who's been outspoken, others as well. It's going to be very interesting to see where the numbers go and to see where we go. And I know that the NFL, I guess it was about a month or so ago, announced that every stadium will be full capacity. I hope that doesn't change. You know, you're already starting to see certain states, the masks, the mandates indoors. You know, you have young kids in school. Depending upon where you live, we anticipate the kids will have masks at least in our family again this year, which sucks, which we're against personally. But it's there's a lot going on right now. There's really a lot going on. So this is not a time to check out of the sports world. NBA draft tonight. The MLB draft tomorrow. We're going to get with, deadline. Thank you very much, Dugetz. Tomorrow, Bob Nightingale is going to join me next segment. And Scherzer has already gone to the Padres. Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant have been pulled from the Cubs lineup, which means they're going to be on the move. Where? I know the Mets and the Twins were engaged in Berrios. Their ace was good. I guess the Twins were asking for a little bit too much. I tell you, I really like him. He is a winning pitcher with good stuff. I'd like to see, if I'm a Mets fan, you know, I don't know exactly what they were asking for, and I'm not going to sit here and say I know every Met prospect. I mean, if I was doing local radio, I would. But unless it's just outlandishly outlandish, get that guy to Queens. I mean, Mets are in a weak division. They've got a chance, you know, to do something. You give the baseball 1-2 to DeGrom and Berrios, and Carrasco's coming back, and who knows what Syndergaard has at some point. You know, Mets could get hot. Alonso could hit bombs, and you get Lindor back from the oblique. Basically, I would make that trade if I'm the Mets, is what I'm saying. A lot happening. All right, so I came across this story. You're not going to like this one. I know you're not going to like this one. So, college sport, it's just, to say that it's changing is an understatement. The whole name, image, and likeness, and branding, and monetization, it's on. I mean, you know, I know there's a booster in Miami. I know Teague talked about this when I was out. If you are a scholarship player for the Hurricanes, for the football team, even if you don't take a snap, if you're on scholarship, I believe the number was $500 a month, right, to endorse like a gym, some sort of UFC, or at a workout facility. $500 a month. You're not going to, you know, buy a Mercedes on $500 a month, but you're going to have $500 more in your pocket than you would have if this wasn't legal. I think that I want to, before I get to the story that you're not going to like, I think that there's been a little misrepresentation. I think many of you are missing something that I think is very interesting, because it could change something that nobody thinks is changeable. All right, so I want you, Stu Getz, pop up last year's standings, college football. I'm going to pick a random conference, all right? I'm going to give you, let's say, the Mountain West. Go to the Mountain West, all right? Take a team that is, say, two steps from the bottom. Now, give me the two or three worst teams in that conference football record from a year ago. And give me the records, too.
All right, so UNLV was 0-6.
Oh, they've been so bad for so long. God. Okay, the Running Rebels, yep.
Utah State was 1-5.
Okay.
And Colorado State, they only played four games. They were 1-3.
That's a bit of an aberration. Yeah. And you said, obviously Utah State had Jordan Love. They were pretty good with him. That's an aberration as well. Maybe that's not the best example, but let me take I'll stick with UNLV. UNLV has been a downtrodden college football program forever, right? Now, the common thought is, pertaining to the name, image, likeness, and branding and money, that the rich will get richer. You heard the humble brag as Saban slipped it in so deftly the other day that his quarterback, who didn't even play yet, is basically making $1 million. And that's his way of saying, without overtly saying, come here because we could do things for you that no other school could possibly do for you. Now, you're going to win, just look at our resume, and now we got a kid who's done nothing at quarterback. He's banking $1 million. All right. That's the obvious way to look. Everybody knows that a school like Alabama who puts every ounce of every resource into their program, they're going to remain at that high level for a long time. Same with Clemson. Same with all the powerhouses, right? But here's why I actually think the NIL opens a door to the doormats. Okay? Money. Take UNLV. Do me one step further here, Stu Getz. Go to the Running Rebels year-by-year record. And I know it's been bad. I bet against them a few times on Sharp Tierney. And I know that they've been many times they've been getting 30 points. I mean, they are a mess. So give me from 2010 forward, what has been their record?
All right, starting with 2010, they were 2-11.
Go.
2-10.
Keep going.
2-11.
Mm-hmm.
7-6.
Mm-hmm.
2-11.
Yep.
3-9.
Yep.
4-8. 5-7. 4-8. 4-8. And then last year, 0-6.
All right, if I had to take a guess, that's probably about a 25 to 30% winning percentage, somewhere in that neighborhood, based on the 10-year cumulative record of the UNLV Running Rebels. You know what changes that? All it takes is for one UNLV grad who's either made money on the strip, in tech, in anything, says, you know what? I want the 15, now I don't know if they'll all go, but I want the 15 highest rated high school players to play for the Running Rebels next year, and I'll give them each $5 million to do it. There is a, and I know that that sounds crazy, and that is obviously a bit of a stretch, and I'm sure of the 15, 15 aren't going to go there. I get that. But what if you get five? In that conference, you're going to win that conference with five. And then you have one or two good seasons, and it starts to pay itself off, and you now almost have a professional team. And instead of having a booster, you now have a general manager who's funding the UNLV Running Rebels football program. We're going to pick the multitude. Go to, go to the AAC. Just give me another. Give me a bottom-tier team in the AAC. We know they've had some good teams. I'm not saying it's a terrible conference by any stretch. A little top-heavy. But give me a couple of AAC teams.
So last year, South Florida went 1-8.
Yeah, they've been hurting, but they've had some good years. They put out some pros. Who else?
Temple 1-6.
Temple obviously took a big step in the wrong direction when they lost Matt Rhule, and they were bad before Matt Rhule. So that's a program that's really not going to win. Who else?
East Carolina 3-6.
Pirates have historically been that's a tough sell. Yep.
Navy 3-7.
Love Navy. We'll never say a disparaging word about Navy. Got love for you, always.
Houston 3-5.
They've had some good years, too. Okay, so now we're going in the wrong direction. So let's take, take East Carolina. Same theory applies to what I just said about UNLV. Like, why couldn't, for lack of a better way to frame it, why couldn't the East Carolina Pirates, Why couldn't the UNLV run in Rebels? Why couldn't all these football teams that lose money, because I know that the stands are empty for, is it still Sam Boyd Stadium? Or maybe they play where the Raiders play now. But I've been to Sam Boyd Stadium when I lived there back in the day. It's a dump. And for years, that's where their games were. It was empty. I mean, it was so cavernous. Nobody was, no ambiance. You can basically buy your way out of being an awful program. And if the NILs weren't there as a ticket to do that, you'd have to do so illegally. I'm not saying some teams haven't tried. Look at SMU back in the day. But in the 80s. But at least now there's a pathway to try to gain footing and to do battle with the heavyweights of college football. Whereas if you couldn't cut these checks legally, you would literally have no chance. Because even if you wanted to cut corners and do things illegally, you couldn't funnel that type of money. I'm talking millions. I don't mean 20,000 here, 50,000 here, 100,000 here. Mom, here's an apartment. Mom, here's a home. I mean money, real money. You couldn't do that without red flags popping up. And, eventually you're dead as a program. And it's a school, nobody's going to be that cavalier. So I think the NILs, everybody's seen it the wrong way. Yeah, they will further empower the powerhouses and, strengthen their grip, allow them to stay there. But I think theoretically, if you get the right, the right benefactor, Letterman went to Ball State, right? Yeah, David Letterman went to Ball State. I don't know what, I'm just throwing names out there. I don't know what David Letterman's net worth is, but good God, how much money do you think that guy's made? If Letterman's like, you know what? Or even if he wanted to do this with the basketball team, that's it. I want to have a national power. Because I know he's a sports guy. And I'm going to, devote $30 million. I mean, it wouldn't be very smart for David Letterman to do this. But if he just had that kind of funny money to just sit back and actually have a powerhouse as an alum, why couldn't he do it? Why couldn't he turn Ball State football into a team that's cranking out double-digit wins a year and going to bowls that somewhat matter? You can do it if you have the money. That's what I'm saying. Now, so there's a story. He's the highest prospect in the entire land, and he's in Columbus. He's not in Columbus. He's going to Ohio State. All right, number one college recruit, Quinn Ewers. I believe that it's E-W-E-R, Ewers, right? He might actually bypass, since he's from Dallas, Westlake maybe? He's going to bypass, possibly, his last season of college football, high school football, to go to Columbus, not to play for the Buckeyes, he can't, just to get in the community to begin collecting what could conceivably be a seven-figure NIL. Now, I know his family's on the record saying, we don't need the money. And I know that part of Dallas. My wife is from Dallas. They're not destitute, put it that way. So when the family says, we don't need the money, I believe them. But, this is not good for high school football. This is not good for high school basketball. I don't begrudge the kid. If his family did need it, take every penny. But how is that good to accelerate things that much? It's just taking away the most pure thing that you can have as a young athlete. And I don't mean just for him, by the way, Quinn Ewers. What do you think it does for the rest of his teammates that may have had a chance to win a state champ with him? I would think he'd be the favorites to win the state championship. Yeah, I'm sure their backup is pretty damn good, too. He's probably getting a full ride somewhere. Some sophomore who's 6'5", 212, slinging it. I guarantee their backup is not a scrub, But it just, it really ruins it for everybody outside of the person getting paid. And I'm not a fan of that. I've said for a long time, and I've always meant this. If somebody, and nobody would be dumb enough to do this back in the day, be a complete waste of money. But if somebody was trying to give me money to go to their school to play baseball, I would have taken every penny. Every single penny. And being the knucklehead that I was, I would have been driving around campus in you know, back then, probably like a Camaro or something, you know? Tinted windows, sick boombox, like a knucklehead, like you do in the 90s. Gold chain, diamond earring, probably the vanity plates too. I mean, Stugatz, why stop there, right? Right? I mean, I would have taken everything. Whether my parents knew, whether they didn't, I would have taken every penny. Now, I didn't grow up wealthy at all. I didn't grow up destitute at all, thank God. I can say quite literally in the middle. Earlier part of my childhood, a lot tougher financially than the second part. True story, when my parents bought the home they still live in the late 70s, and they're still there, my dad said to my mom, "We cannot buy a piece of furniture for the next year." And I vaguely recollect, there weren't pictures, well, I guess there's pictures. We had lawn furniture as our living room furniture for the first year or so because we couldn't afford furniture. Like, if that was the way it was up in, like, high school changed, my dad retired and wound up doing well. And I'm very proud of him for that. It wasn't easy, but he hustled. Point is, taking every damn penny, especially if it was the way it was the first couple of years when they were really, you know, it was tough to come by money. I mean, when they bought that house, they were tapped out. And the house was less than $50,000. So I get it. There are people that just don't have it. I'm not going to tell you. Take it all. Take it all. But at what expense? Man, kid doesn't need the money. He's not going to play his senior year of high school. Why? Because he might get hurt. Because he might leave $1 million on the table. Hey, I wouldn't leave $1 million on the table either. But damn, I wouldn't give up anything. My senior year in high school we weren't state champs, but we were good. We were 20-2. We won a couple of playoff games. You know, we were good for the division we played in, for the level we played in. I look back and I'm like, man, I was the best. I couldn't imagine playing in front of 30,000 fans in the state of Texas and giving that up. He won't be the first. He's not the first. And that's a trend that comes with the NILs that I really hate. It's not as simple as saying, should athletes be able to monetize their brand? The answer is unquestionably yes. Of course they should. NCAA is a bunch of crooks. Crooks! Crooks! But now it just dips down to the lower levels, you know? Before you know it, some kid's not going to play varsity as a sophomore because he's such a hot prospect, he's going to do what Quinn Ewers might do. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. That's my opinion. I don't think it is. That'll never change for me. Oh, okay, we've got breaking NBA news on Slack. Can you read this, please?
Yeah.
Is this about my Knicks?
No, it's about the Lakers.
Not the Lakers.
According to Shams, the Lakers and Wizards are engaged on a trade that would send Russell Westbrook to L.A. Westbrook wants to move elsewhere, and the Lakers are his preferred destination.
Okay, thank God he didn't say Bradley Beal. I can't see LeBron get it that easy, you know. And even with Westbrook and his inefficiency from behind the arc, and it's going to make him better, obviously. I don't think they're going to win a championship necessarily because of that, unless they do something else. But, like, if they were able to get DeMar DeRozan as well, if DeMar signs for a few bucks less, as we talked about the other day. But, okay, Shams is piped in, so you're going to have to take that as gospel. Westbrook with LeBron and AD, certainly better than they were a year ago. But not, I don't think, an NBA championship-winning move, in my opinion. Interesting. Good job getting that in real time. Thank you. All right, let's get a quick break. Bob Nightingale, speaking of movement, all sorts of activity in Major League Baseball. Who is next? Scherzer gone. Who's on the way out next? We'll hit that coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Max Scherzer, Padres. Lesser extent, Joey Gallo. Yesterday, Yankees. Will get a lot more moves, I would think, by tomorrow. And to help us figure out what's what, I know that Rizzo and Chris Bryant have been pulled from the Cubs lineup. I know the Mets are talking to the Twins about their ace. I know that Trevor Story is probably going to be moved. Maybe the Nats with Trey Turner. Bob Nightingale, USA Today baseball insider, here to help me with what might happen and what already has transpired. Bob, welcome back, buddy. How you been, man?
Yeah, doing well. Thank you, guys.
Yep. I mean, well, let's start with the shortstop market. It's a pretty good one here. I think the Nats will be incredibly foolish to trade Trey Turner, whereas I think the Rockies have to trade Trevor Story. Likelihood, one guy gets dealt, both guy gets dealt. Where would they land? Talk about the shortstops, Bob.
I can't see Trey Turner being dealt either. If you want to trade him, go ahead and do it in the offseason. We have everybody involved and try to beat out the other free agent shortstops. But I can't see them getting good value for him now. And I think this guy's in the top, 5-10 players in all of baseball. Trevor Story, I'm not sure he gets dealt, as crazy as it sounds. The price tag is really going to have to drop. And the White Sox finally just gave up on it. Said, we'll grab, Cleveland's second baseman and go from there. They grew frustrated. So did some other teams. So what the Rockies are saying is, we think that by losing him and getting a first-round draft pick, it would be better than anything we're getting offered. So I'm not positive he gets dealt, even though he should be, when the first guy is dealt.
I know he's a good player, and there's been years where he's been a really good player, but, is he worth a monster haul? He's a huge strikeout guy. I know he's got pop, obviously, and at that position, that's premium. But Trevor Story, to me, like the way it's positioned, like he's not going to alter a franchise's trajectory. I mean, I don't see him to be that player. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm not sure he'll be that guy either. I mean, you look at Nolan Arenado. I mean, he's not quite the same guy as he was in St. Louis as he was in Colorado. We said it all the time. Trevor Story might make sense for the Texas Rangers. He's a Dallas kid. They need to start spending some money and get people, interested in the coming games. So I'm not sure where he ranks. I mean, you still got, Corey Seager's on that market, Carlos Correa, Javi Baez. It's just on and on. It's like I'm not sure, people are going to give him that kind of money without knowing, especially the kind of year he's having. He's not having a good year.
No, he's really not. I agree. We're talking to Bob Nightingale, USA Today baseball insider here on Tiki and Tierney. So Bob, rather than, let's frame it this way. Rather than me just throw names out there and ask you if they're going to get traded, why don't you tell me who you think is going to get traded?
Well, I think on the Cubs, for instance, Craig Kimbrell's definitely going to get traded. I'd be shocked if Chris Bryant's not traded as well. Everybody could use Kimbrell. The Giants and Phillies have been talking about Kimbrell forever. Whoever loses out, in the Scherzer trade, they'll go after him. We'll see if Barrios got traded from the Minnesota Twins. I'm not sure about Anthony Rizzo from the Cubs. The other big name. And we'll see a ton of relievers get traded. But, obviously the big one is Craig Kimbrell.
Yep. Yeah, he would help a lot of teams for sure. You know, I said this before. I can't back it up with definitive data, but just, you know, having watched the game my entire life and having a pretty good sense of what's happened historically, nothing jumps out to me. Let me throw this by you. You've been at it longer than me, and baseball's your entire focus here. I don't know that there's ever been a better season, all-encompassing, in terms of West Coast baseball than what we have right now. We know about the NL West, Dodgers defending champions, the Padres just got Scherzer, the Giants have the best record in baseball, Seattle, even though they might start to wilt a bit, that wouldn't surprise me. But thus far, they've been a great story. They've overachieved, and they're in the wild card hunt, and the A's are 11 games over 500, and the Angels, who aren't a threat to win a World Series anytime soon, they provided us with the best story in baseball maybe in the last 100 years. Am I subscribing to hyperbole when I say that this is the best West Coast season ever? And I know we've had teams meet in the World Series. Trust me, I get that. You know, multiple West, I get that aspect. But top to bottom, make sense?
No, you make a great point. You know, I wasn't thinking about the whole, you know, up and down the coast. I mean, remember the year when the Giants, you know, won 101 games and didn't make the playoffs because he had, somebody else won 102. Actually, it was the Atlanta Braves. I say it was the Dodgers. It wasn't. But, you know, there's been years the Dodgers and Giants have both been great. But, you know, we're talking about the Dodgers, the Giants, and the Padres all being great at the same time. The Padres have not had that many good years. And you're right. I mean, Seattle's been a big surprise just hanging around as long as they have. The Giants, the biggest surprise in the National League. And the Angels. I mean, for the Angels to be hanging around 500 with Mike Trout, you know, missing, you know, all for the first 2 months of the season is stunning. You know, it's too bad he hasn't been around. It would have been a fun to see what he could have done. Same with Anthony Rendon. Mm-hmm. I mean, for a while there, the Angels had $120 million on the injury list.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, it's funny because I feel like the A's always get overlooked. And because I worked in San Francisco for not that long, but I went to a ton of A's games, obviously Giants too. Been to the Coliseum a million times. I love their history. You know, the back-to-back-to-back championships, Catfish, Reggie, Bando, blah, 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 Dick Williams, the skipper. It's incredible. And then, of course, Ricky and the Bash Brothers, Dennis Eckersley. The A's don't get a whole lot of respect, and they are a really good franchise. If I say to you, Bob, in 5 or 10 years, whichever you think is a better avenue for your answer, where are the A's playing? Where are they going to be?
You know, I think right there in Oakland.
You really do?
They're leaving. Yeah. They might even still be in the Coliseum. I mean, remember now, MLB put in a task force about them moving in 2006. You know, here we are 15 years later, and, you know, we'll see. They, you know, at least no one's rejected the, you know, the new waterfront project, so that might work. And you're right, Oakland's been a very good team for a long time. I think if they had not lost Matt Chapman last year down the stretch, I think they could have won the World Series.
Wow.
I think, you know, I think they're that good.
Uh-huh.
And I think we'd mistake it. We dismiss them now. You know, they're a very dangerous team.
They are.
But there's no way.
But, Bob, let me respectfully disagree. There is no way that they are playing in that stadium in 10 years. I mean, they have had sewage, you know, roll through the clubhouse into the dugout. It's a dilapidated dump. It is absolutely disgusting, that place. I understand it's not easy. I get it. And I know the Giants have the territorial rights, which the A's relinquished, by the way, when the Giants were threatening to move. I don't want to get too deep in the weeds here, but it's one thing to kick this down the road another 1, 2, or 3 years. Another decade in the year 2031, there's no way the A's could still be in that stadium. There's no chance. There's no way.
But I mean, when you look at it, but though, we're talking about, you know, 2005, if someone asked you the question, hey, will they be there in 15 years? You would have said the same answers. No way in the world. you never know. I mean, it's amazing, just a roadblock. It's too bad that it's almost a technicality that they gave up the property to make sure that, or the rights to make sure the Giants didn't move to Tampa Bay years ago.
Yep, in the early 90s.
And San Jose would have been perfect.
Yep.
I mean, so much money in the Silicon Valley area. So, but the Giants, you know, it's almost like they're, you know, greedy. They want to keep all that money there themselves, even though there's a lot of money in East Bay as well. But everybody wants that San Jose area.
Yeah, and I saw those blueprints. I've seen a couple of different versions of projects that they were trying to push out there for the A's. And, of course, the Giants didn't relent. And I get it. Business is business. So we're talking to Bob Nightingale. I guess while we're on the topic of stadium, new stadiums, you know, I know there's an initiative here, and you've heard about maybe Montreal. You've heard about maybe Mexico, Portland. There's some Las Vegas. Where's the next baseball market?
Well, I think number one is Nashville, Tennessee. I think that's, you know.
I like that.
Thriving city. And like the reason why Dave Dombrowski and everybody went there, you know, Dave Stewart, because they knew that they had a great chance for it. The second spot would be Montreal. If they get a stadium, you know, they're set. People love going to Montreal. You know, there's room in Canada to have two teams.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the second one, I'm not sure about the others. I don't buy Vegas. The reason I say that is the Arizona Diamondbacks have a hard enough time, you know, making it work in Phoenix, you know, losing money. And that's like the fifth largest city in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Same exact weather.
Yep.
And I think that Vegas is like the 42nd, you know, biggest market. So I just don't know if you're going to go to Vegas in the summertime in that heat and say, oh, I can't wait to go to a ball game where you can stay inside the casino and gamble the games.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. Are the Mets really worried about DeGrom? Should they be?
Well, they should be, just because, you know, you hold your breath every time he goes out there. You know, it's like, yeah, I mean, he's dominant when he pitches. But, you know, it's a little silly when people say, well, Jacob DeGrom could beat Bob Gibson's record at 1.12. Yeah, you know, that's correct. But Bob Gibson threw over 300 innings that year, had 27 complete games. We're talking about guys only throwing 90 innings. So,
yeah.
You know, the Mets have been under 500 now for about the last 45 games. But yet the division's so bad, they haven't lost any ground whatsoever. So it's been okay for them. You know, if Philadelphia's got a chance to do something, you know, it looks like they're going to get swept by the Washington Nationals. Atlanta so beat up. So it's almost like, win the division by forfeit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, Bob, good having you back on the show. Appreciate your input, some thoughts on all the high-profile names that could get dealt and possible locations, a little stadium and a relocation chat. Good stuff, Bob. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Sure, my pleasure. Take care.
Okay. Such a pleasant guy, isn't he, Stu? So pleasant. Bob Nightingale, who's been at this for a long time. Well, well-sourced guy. Up to Ack is well-sourced. Ack? Ack?
I'm here.
Okay, I didn't hear you.
Oh, no, I thought I was here.
Where would you relocate? I'm going to give you commissioner power for a minute.
Nashville.
I agree. I've said that from day one. Second choice would be?
You know, Charlotte comes to mind.
I've said Charlotte as well. I like Charlotte. Would you go back to Montreal, or would you not kick those?
I would.
You would?
I think I would. You know, but I think you need the right kind of park, because it's obviously going to be cold in April and October.
Yeah.
And I think if you could do a nice retractable dome there, I think there's enough there. I think it would have held if management was more supportive last time around.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, the work stoppages didn't help either.
They had such good players too. Larry Walker, Pedro. I mean, think, oh God.
Yeah, people forget how good Ken Hill was that year. Marquise Grissom.
Yep. Cologne. Mm-hmm. That is that stud. Wetland was there. All right, let's get the update from Ack. Come back, we'll hit you with the blast. Wrap up a busy Thursday. NBA draft tonight. Some final thoughts on that as well.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
All right, Tinky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. This weekend on CBS, there are plenty of sports for everybody, a little something to dig into for everybody. Starting Saturday at noon, 3 Eastern, noon Pacific, Summer Hoops, Big 3's back. Then on Sunday, maybe nursing a little hangover, kick back on the couch, watch some of the fittest athletes compete. Boy, there's nothing, you can't have more opposites. You laying on the couch, nursing a hangover, watching the fittest athletes in the world compete against each other in the CrossFit Games. Couldn't be further apart, could you? Followed at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific by the Major League Rugby Championship, all coming up this weekend on CBS. All right, Stu Getz, let's grade the show. What do you think, buddy? Let's hear the scouting report on the show.
Oh, it's very good. I mean, we had three really good guests. We had some strong opinions.
Let me stop you for a sec. Okay. I don't doubt that it was really good, but I want to establish, because I'm going to ask you every day now.
Okay.
That's one thing I'm going to do, even when Tiki's here. I want you to grade the show. But I don't. I'm not cut from the cloth. Everything was great. Everything was awesome. Everything was terrific. If we have, you know, a subpar show, if there's something that I need you to be honest enough to say it on the air.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, continue with the scouting report for today's show. Go ahead.
No, I thought it was great. I thought that the Sixers start with Ben Simmons, just a good place to start. I think he is someone that you kind of mentioned, like, we're overrating him a bit. I think Sean King was phenomenal.
He was great, wasn't he?
He was good. And I always love McDonough, hearing what he has to say about the NBA.
Yep, McDonough was money. He's our Odyssey NBA Insider, NBA Draft tonight. I'm going to stop, because everybody that I talk to in the business is beginning to think that this might not transpire. But, you know, I'm going to stick with my gut. I still think we get another, maybe not the highest of profile trades tonight. I'm not saying that Beal's going to get dealt tonight or Lillard's going to get dealt tonight. But, you know, Westbrook already, according to Shams, that's done. I think something else is going to happen. I think there's, you know, I love the draft. I think this is an incredibly potent, deep draft with multiple all-stars and some franchise-altering players. I think it's that good. And I asked Ryan McDonough the same, and he said it's, in the last 20 years, it's top five drafts for him. Subjective, sure, but the guy, you know, was a former NBA GM, so if you don't take my word for it, maybe you'll take his. I think the draft should be fun tonight. I think MLB trade deadline tomorrow should be a lot of fun as well. And, you know, with camps going on, there's always an injury or a little controversy or something around the corner. So this is a great time to be a sports fan. Hopefully you guys are enjoying the show. Follow us on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, youtube.com/Tiki and Tierney as well. All the content uploaded every day. TV does a great job with it. You miss something, you go there, you won't miss anything. Let's get to the blast. Go ahead, Stu Getz.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Tiki and Tierney.
We got...
All right, BT. So earlier this week, Dolphins cornerback Xavien Howard announced on Instagram that he has requested a trade.
Not happy.
The Miami Dolphins. That's right.
One out.
Well, according to NFL Network's Ian Rappaport, there are two playoff teams from last year that have inquired about Howard, with others being interested as well. Mm. Which NFL contender do you think should pull the trigger on a trade for Howard?
Okay, so contender meaning you don't want me to respond to the report. It doesn't have to be a playoff team from a year ago. It's basically a team that I think will be pretty good this year that wasn't necessarily a playoff. Could have been, but wasn't necessarily a playoff team last year. All right. I've got three teams for you, one of which was a playoff team. I'm going to say the Tennessee Titans would be one team. If I really had to try to narrow it down based on Ian's doing some good work, but he always does good work, but... You know, he had the Rodgers stuff. This is a pretty good nugget as well about Howard, who's a hell of a player. Had 10 picks a year ago. I don't blame him for not being enthralled with the situation, but it is what it is. I would say that Tennessee would be one of the playoff teams that has already inquired, and two teams that I think will be right there that should inquire. One is Dallas. I mean, come on. Dallas' defense is horrendous. And the other would be the Vegas Raiders. Those are two teams I think that... Now, listen, I could go in a million directions. I could tell you, hey, if the Bills ever got him to pair up with Tre'Davious, first of all, they wouldn't trade him to the Bills, but Tre'Davious White, I mean, yeah, I could cherry pick and almost make a case, oh, the Washington's defense is incredible. They could, sure, anybody that's, hey, I guess I could sell anybody, but those are three teams that jump out. Tennessee, Dallas for sure, and Vegas.
Well, speaking of the Raiders, they drafted wide receiver Henry Ruggs with the 12th pick in last year's draft, and he had a disappointing rookie campaign as he caught only 26 passes and scored just 2 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now the second-year speedster has a bit of a different look, as he revealed yesterday to reporters that he added 13 pounds during the offseason. So is a speedster like Ruggs adding 13 pounds a good thing or a bad thing?
Listen, he didn't gain 13 pounds by... just sitting on the couch all summer, you know, I mean, sucking down Twinkies and soda and, you know, bad calories, empty calories. It's functional weight. I'm quite sure that he went about this the right way. And you look at Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill is yoked. Like, there are guys that can burn that put on the functional mass, and it doesn't get in the way of their wheels. And I think this is one of those situations where it's going to really help him. Just getting off the line of scrimmage, because all he needs is just that little extra. When you, I don't know what he, I think he ran a 4. Stu Getz, check this. I think he ran a 4.31. Can you double check that combine number for me? I think he was a 4.31. Nah, he was lower than that. He may have been 4.2. He may have been in a 4.2. What was he? Do you have it? 4.31 now seems a little high. What was it?
It was a 4-2-7.
Yeah, okay, 4-2-7. When you run a 4-2-7, even if it's a tick that's barely calculable, like if you're strong enough, that extra 13 pounds of oomph, just to get a tick of separation, doof, and then run by everybody, that's going to help him. And listen, he was on my fantasy team. Yes, I was disappointed, but the guy had, 25 catches for almost 450 yards, right? Something like that. Prorate the numbers. Okay, so you want to give him, he had 26 catches. Give him 50 catches. If he had 50 catches for 900 yards, is that a bad season? No, that's not a bad season. Not that many guys in the NFL have 50 catches and get to the 900-yard mark is what I'm saying. I expect more touchdowns because he can get behind people. He only had two, I believe, but I'm not giving up on him yet. Disappointing rookie season. I think he bounces back. I'm happy he put on the weight. Good move.
After just one season as an assistant under Steve Nash in Brooklyn, the Nets announced that Mike D'Antoni has left the staff. The 70-year-old two-time coach of the year will reportedly pursue another head coaching opportunity in the future. Can D'Antoni still work in today's NBA as a head coach?
I mean, yes, he could still work because if he gets the right players, you know, we've never really seen Mike coach a bad roster. Like, he's always had Harden, Nash, Amari, Carmelo. Not that that worked out well, but he's always had guys that can fill it up. You get him decent players, he's gonna crank out 120 points a game, 118-ish points a game, and he's going to win, you know, in the neighborhood of 50 games if he's got the right players, maybe more. And then they'll lose in the playoffs because they can't play defense. I mean, this is not science here. Like, we don't need to overly think this. And it's not being unfairly critical. It's reacting to an incredibly detailed body of work. Here's a guy who knows the game and has really been an innovative factor in the game. I mean, a lot of people have taken his concepts and now, granted, they've had subsets off his concepts and maybe they've done it even better in certain spots. But, you know, his philosophy is not antiquated. It's just that there's a ceiling that has been present forever. So I answer these questions from this frame of reference. This is my go-to move. If I owned a team, would I hire Mike D'Antoni to be my head coach? He would not even be remotely choice number one. And I like Mike. I liked him with the Knicks. He's a great guy, and he's had a great career, but I would not hire him. So I guess what I'm saying is my answer is no in terms of championship viability, but I respect his basketball too much to just throw him aside.
All right, the Oakland A's made a big splash yesterday trading for Marlins outfielder Starling Marte in exchange for pitcher Jesus Luzardo. The 32-year-old Marte is hitting 306 with 7 home runs, 25 RBI, and 22 steals in 63 games.
And by
the
way, you make it sound like he's got, 19 home runs. He's got 7 home runs. I mean, I like Starling Marte. I always have. Keep going. I just don't want to. He's a good player, but let's leave it at good.
So are the A's legitimate contenders in the American League now after adding Marte?
This is one of those things that I wrestle with. I really like the A's, as does Nightingale. It's just impossible to separate their postseason failures from, each individual team. And I'm not one of these guys who, lumps in past failures and equates it to a death sentence to the now. But, I mean, in the American League, I do think the Red Sox are better, especially if Sale comes back and is 90% of Chris Sale. I think the White Sox are better. I think the Rays are better. Can't say the Yankees are. As much as I can't say that. I know I'm missing a team or two. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say that they are not a series contender for the World Series.
Time's up.
Your time.
The blast is over for another day.
Oh, man, that was a good one, too. So, NBA draft. Am I happy with my Knicks tomorrow, Stu Getz, or no?
I think he'll be happy. They have two picks. They should do something.
Come on, Leon Rose. Come on, boys. Let's go. Enjoy the draft. Maybe we'll get a big trade. Either way, we'll have a big Friday show. Teak is back. Safe, sensible, sane. Remain so. Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.